be so kind to stand to your feet all over the building. I just want you to look at one neighbor right in the eye. I know you may not want to look at them because you think you're better looking. If you can't find nobody better looking than you, look at somebody that's just looking. And tell a neighbor, when I think about 2011, my hands go up to praise God for what didn't happen. I'm going to praise it for what didn't happen. A lot of things could have happened, but I praise it for what did happen. The devil had assigned a lot of things to you, but thank God for angels that hearken at the voice of his command. Hallelujah. We praise God. Come on and give him your best praise and make you see. Come on, give him your best praise and make you see. And make you see. And be seated in the presence of God. Amen. Now tonight, I will bother you a few times in the beginning. And I just want you to get in unison and let's celebrate the angel of this house, the Bishop Tony Banks. Some of you are reticent. Some of you are taciturn. Why don't we just celebrate the God in Bishop Tony Banks? Don't be shy. I think we ought to be excited about a man that has the spirit of excellence.
Amen.
Bishop Bank don't just throw something together. He takes time and thoroughly think it. And I just appreciate your spirit of excellence, man of God. I salute you. Amen. I want to thank God for all of you that are here. How many of you know this is the last time you're going to be in church in the year 2011? That's why you ought to take your weave out, pull your shoes off, and just give God all the glory that you can muster. Because I don't know about you, but he's been good to me. I said, he's been good to me. He's been good. You know what? I'm going to change that. He's good right now. He's good right now. Some of you are in debt because you ain't praying, paying up your praise bill. But I owe him a praise because he's good right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now we're going to be subject to the order of the house. Bishop Banks told me when he invited me to come and share, he said, we want to take about an hour and a half. And I believe in following the order of the house. Amen. But I am so grateful to be here tonight. And I don't know about you, but I've gone through some things in 2011. But I can sing and say, I made it. Through the storm and the rain, I made it. And guess what? 2012 going to be a blessed year for you. I prophesy that to you tonight. 2012 is going to be a year of abundance. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, yes. Now, I just want to make this little small observation, then we're going to go into the Word. How many of you all watched Meet the Browns? Well, on February the 3rd, the Colonel is going to be in Columbus, Georgia.
All right.
And he's already informed us that he's not bringing Brown with him. And he's not bringing Edna with him. But he's going to be, amen, at the Faith Tabernacle Community Church in their gymnasium, sponsored by the Winroe Ministries, on February the 3rd in a father and daughter candlelight dinner.
All right, man.
All you daddies that's behind on your child support, that's a night to make it up to mama. Amen. Amen. Take that daughter out to a candlelight dinner. Amen. And that'll be February the 3rd at 7 p.m. until 11 p.m. And the Colonel have said he'll be available to take pictures. Amen. With you that want a photo. And I don't know about you, but I like to touch celebrities.
All right, man.
And Columbus, we ain't so bad that celebrities can't visit us. Amen. So keep that date. Remember the date, February the 3rd, 7 o'clock p.m. at the Faith Tabernacle Community Church. Amen. Where the Reverend Plummer is the pastor, a tire former and semi-former. God bless you. Let's get your Bibles and go to the Word of the Lord, because I think it's the best thing we can hear on the last day of the year is the Word of God.
Amen.
I don't want to hear Jay-Z and Beyonce. I want to hear a word from the Lord. Amen. I know some of you already got your amen. Yeah, but tonight, in this place, we're going to get a word from the Lord. I want to thank God, amen, for the praise team. Amen. On direction, Sister Asia, amen, being with us tonight.
Amen.
And all of those that came from the window ministry with us, we praise God for your Lordship. And our service will begin at 9 p.m., amen. And we invite you, if you don't have enough church, just come on to 1112 Winton Road. Now, if we do something in our church, when it comes time for reading the Word of God, we get our Bibles, turn to the Scripture, and stand in reference to the Word of God. If we can stand to the Pledge of Allegiance, we can stand for the Word of God. The book of Philippians, the 3rd chapter, very familiar passage of Scripture, and I think it's fitting, and I know it is a word from the Lord tonight. Philippians, the 3rd chapter. And I will start reading at verse 13 and verse 14. If you have it, say,
I got the word.
It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do.
Yes.
All right.
Forgetting those things which are behind.
Yes.
All right.
And reaching forth unto those things which are before.
Yes. All right.
I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor,
that's motivation
for forgetting. Look at somebody else and tell them,
that's motivation
for forgetting.
You
may be seated. It's the utter impossibility to be able to drive a car with your eyes focused in the rearview mirror.
All right.
I say it's an utter impossibility to drive your car,
yes, sir,
with your eyes focused on the rearview mirror.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And some of us want to blame others in society and segments of society because we're not where we think we should be.
Yes.
It's not so much because you have a play hater in your life, because I look at my play haters as being motivators.
All right.
Because if you didn't dislike me, you wouldn't make me try to show you what all I really can do. So, but when we really think about it, it's things that we, the baggage that's yet in our lives that we refuse to let go. Some of us are still holding on to memories because somebody hurt you. You're still holding on to memories because somebody really didn't do you a favor that you thought would make the difference in your life. And therefore, we have come to the point that where we need to understand, in order for me to get from where I am to another place in life, first of all, I've got to resolve.
All right. Go ahead, sir.
I've got to resolve. Now, to resolve is an inward accomplishment that is free from negative influence.
All right.
You don't need nobody telling you what you can't do.
Right.
You don't need anyone telling you what you can't become.
All right.
You don't need anybody reminding you of your generational calamities.
Right.
Oh my God, I shouldn't have said that. To resolve is to show evidence that I've had an endogenous experience. In other words, something has to happen on the inside of you before you to have a resolve.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know, that's why I have a problem with the word motivation. Because sometimes people will label themselves as being motivational speakers. I really don't think there's any such thing as a motivational speaker, because it takes an inward intestinal fortitude for me to motivate myself.
Right.
Now, there are folk that can inspire me.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Oh, you know how it is when you went to that revival.
Bible and you, the preacher preached a good message and you got happy and got inebriated and you said, you know what? I'm going to live for God. And about 2 days after the revival, all of that speech you heard is was not as impacting. Simply because you was inspired, but there was no inward motivation. When you resolve in yourself, then we don't have to come here tonight and say, I want to know what time they're going to give space for resolutions. Come on now, some of y'all from that church back that way, every New Year's Eve night, we would get up and say, I want to make a New Year's resolution. I ain't going to cuss my children as much as I did the year before. And many times, if we would just do one of the resolutions, we would be so much better. Now, resolutions can easily be spoken because of an endorphin feeling. An endorphin rush. You know, you was in an atmosphere. I remember one time a brother said to me he was invited to the White House during the time of Richard Nixon. And he said he was really not a Republican, but he was invited and he took advantage of the opportunity. And said, as a matter of fact, he didn't even like Richard Nixon. Said, but when Richard Nixon walked in the room and so much applause went forth until he stood up in a chair trying to see Richard Nixon. Simply because the atmosphere had been charged. And sometimes when we're in the midst of a charged atmosphere, we'll get up and make all kind of resolutions. But you got to understand, you cannot make a resolution until you've experienced a resolve. Well, let me go a little further. Have you ever noticed when you go to a funeral? Most funeral services on the program, there's something included called reading of the...
All right.
Y'all ain't been there about that, y'all know? There's a reading of the resolution.
Yes.
And the resolution simply means that something has changed, something has transitioned, or something has transformed as a result of a resolve. And when you resolve within yourself to do something, you don't need nobody to direct you.
Go ahead.
When you really resolve something, then you arrive at your own resolution and say, I will never do this anymore.
Right.
Come on and say glory here.
Glory.
You see, the reason why they have the reading of the resolution, because they understand that it'll resolve of a fixed purpose.
Yes.
We want to talk about purpose, but death is a fixed purpose.
Yes. Yes.
It's appointed on the man once to die.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And then that resolution is read to give evident that, hey, something has changed.
Yes.
Somebody has left this side and went to the other side.
Yes.
So now I would like to offer you what causes us to resolve. First of all, that when we realize life has a premium with your name on it.
Yes,
all
right. It does. Yes, it does.
Bishop Banks, I ran into a group of people here lately that just don't want nothing. They get a job to where they can pay their bills on time.
Yes, all right. Yes.
And they can move out of the apartment into a better neighborhood, and they never have any aspiration to do any better. I'm just satisfied if I can come to church, pay my tithe and offering, and have my birthday on the bulletin. I'm satisfied. I don't have to have a relationship with God. I don't have to go from glory to glory. Just let me feel him every now and then. But when you realize that your life has a premium, it has something that is inclusive of high value. See, when you have high value, it brings influence. And see, influence is the only thing that can bring about change.
Church folk
got a band saying we're going to take the city. You can't take the city unless you own something.
Go ahead. That's real talk.
And when you begin to gain influence and begin to get in an influential position, then you can orchestrate change.
Yes.
And that's why it's so important when we make resolution. I want to say this, and I hope I don't get in trouble, but you need to appreciate guilt.
Yes. All right. Go ahead, sir. Make it plain. Make it plain.
I need to be in a Presbyterian church preaching like this. You need to appreciate guilt, because guilt serves as a compass to guide you to where you'll never make that mistake. Until a person comes face to face with guilt, you're going to always be at a place where you're making the same mistakes over and over. But when I look at guilt, and guilt really gets me guilt-ridden, then I get to a place where I will never, ever do that again. Sometimes God allows us to go through things, and we pray to get out of it, and he don't deliver us, because he gonna let you stay in it long enough to where if you ever get out, you will never ever get involved in that again. So you ought to appreciate guilt. You know how we turn our nose up. You ain't gonna let no guilt trip on me. You gotta learn how to appreciate guilt.
Alright.
Because guilt is a compass. Here Apostle Paul, as I close this tonight. Here Apostle Paul saying, look at me.
Hallelujah.
First of all, he said, brethren, I don't want you to think I have arrived.
Yeah.
Every child of God ought to be appreciative of grace.
Yes. Thank you, God.
All right.
Thank you.
We really, baby, can you sit down? You motivate me. Do you really understand? Do you really understand that when we look at our lives, this is what I asked God, Bishop. I asked God the other day, I hear what the old church told me. Prayer changes things. I prayed and the thing didn't change.
Uh-oh. Come on.
You told me once I get saved, I'm just as sure for heaven as if I was already there. But I don't understand. I've been blackwashed. I've been blackballed, sought out and taught. But some reason or another, I still got some proclivities. How is it that when I don't feel saved, when I don't feel like saying hallelujah, and look like the anointing still works through me, and I ask God, God, you got to talk to me. He says, son, every one of y'all are functioning under grace. Grace is just like this. He looked beyond my faults, and he saw my need. Oh yeah. That's what he did. You didn't deserve it. And Paul said, brother, I count not myself to have already arrived. I ain't made it yet. But it's one thing I can brag about. None of my past. Come on, you know you hate to go to the family reunion. Because there's some folks that are going to remind you of how y'all used to rob the apple tree. And there you are saying, well, my God, I don't want to remember any of that. But let me tell you something. Paul said, this one thing I do. I'm not trying to get a position. I'm not trying to be in the pastor's corner. But it's one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to forget the things that are behind. You see, when you come to Christ, that's the first spirit you need. That's the spirit of forgetfulness. I don't enjoy folk getting up in a church talking about, I want to thank God for saving me, sanctifying me with the Holy Ghost. I remember I used to drink a barrel of whiskey. You're not saying anything because you never were supposed to do it in the first place. And if you're always talking about it, evidently you have not experienced real deliverance. Count not myself to have had, but this one thing I do, I'm forgetting. Those things that are behind. Now, I need you to help me to preach. Look at somebody and say,
if you remember
what's behind, you won't become a behind. Long as you keep bringing up the past, standing looking at the things that are behind me, let me tell you something. That old man is dead. I know where he's buried. I can show you the tombstone. But I have made it, but I'm going to forget the things that are behind me. And my motivation is because I see something else. Can I give y'all, see brothers and sisters, stop crying over that loved one that left you. Stop crying over them. Get you some deliverance. Don't give nobody so much power until you start crying and they gone. Because see, what real love is, real love is the part of me I experience when I'm with you.
All right, come on now. Go ahead, sir. That's Jesus.
Okay, y'all ain't ready. My motivation to forget is I see something else. Can I tell y'all something? Folks can break your heart. How is it that you can tell me you'll always love me?
Go ahead.
You'll never leave me. And tonight you tell me you don't want me no more, and next week you with somebody else. I got a problem understanding that until I read this motivation for forgetting. It's easy to get over somebody with somebody. That's why, ladies, 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 y'all please stay with me. This is the last night of the year. Don't leave me. But that's why it's so easy for men to move on. Hold up, Steve. Hold up, Steve. That's why it's so easy for men to move on, because see, women, when you all get hurt, you all get involved in trying to pull yourself up by yourself. But when a man get hurt, he looks for another pair of arms. Come on, you know you thought he was going to lose his job, and you find out he's working overtime for her. Come on, I need some real people in here tonight. This is the last night of the year. Why don't you be real? Because a man is so emotional. Okay. He can move on because he got motivation to forget.
All right.
And Paul said, my motivation is I can forget what's behind me because I see something else.
All right.
Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, if God done closed the door and has not opened the other door, praise him in the hallway. Yeah. Just praise him on your way to that door. It ain't open yet, but I'm going to praise him on my way. I'm going to forget about the door that's closed. I talked to Jesse Samson the other day. They said Samuel came down there to anoint a king. And they said, Daddy made all of us pass before Samuel. But we're glad the oil didn't fall on our head. Because the oil was designed for David's head. So if you see your neighbor going through a door, don't start play hating. Because if that ain't the door for you, you won't be able to handle it no way. I'm forgetting the things that are behind me. And Paul said, the reason why it's so easy for me to get, because I'm reaching.
I'm reaching.
Reaching always exerts energy.
Yes.
See, people that are that are height challenged like me. I'm not short, I'm height challenged. Sometime to change a light bulb.
All right.
I've got to almost stand on my tiptoes simply because I've got to reach.
Uh-huh.
And Paul said, my past is so dismal until I'm willing to exert myself to get out of these past hurts, these past disappointments, because I see something. I see a prize.
Yes.
Ooh, God. People of God, do you see anything? Do you see anything? I told my church, I said, the first of the year, we're going on a 30-day, 5 a.m. prayer meeting at the church, because I am tired of looking at the same back of the neck. I've been looking at it ever since I've been in church. It's time now for God to open up and send some more folk in. And the only way I can do it, I've got to reach.
Go ahead, preacher.
Look at your name and say, stop preaching.
Stop preaching.
And start reaching.
Start reaching.
See, I want to reach.
Yes.
Paul said it like this. He said, one thing I'm going to forget my past, and I'm going to reach. Mm-hmm. I'm going to reach.
Yes, Lord.
If you're in my way, I'm going to reach around you.
Yes. All right.
If you're in my way, I'm going to reach over you.
Yes.
And if you won't move, I'm going to reach through you.
Yes.
Because I've got to forget what's behind me.
All right.
Every now and then, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it?
All right.
Do you want it enough to cut that cord
All right.
of the thing that's calling you to be contagious?
All right.
Are you willing to cut the cord of those folk that are so negative in your ear?
All right.
Oh my God, you know, every time pastors say we're going to do something, all of a sudden you get a spiritual revelation.
Come on.
The only revelation in this house is Bishop's revelation.
All right.
Oh God, I done messed up, Bishop. I'm sorry.
That's right.
Look at your neighbor and say, I'm motivated
to forget.
And when you forget, then you see, let me tell you something. I gotta say this, and then I'm gonna let you have it. When you are hurting and people tell you to forget, most time you'll say, honey, you don't understand.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
But if you rehearse it,
my God, my God.
And you nurse it,
my God.
You will never disperse it.
My God.
Long as you got folks sitting around want to talk about it.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Long as you sending out an invitation to a pity party,
that's right. That's right.
Then you will always be reminded of the heartache.
That's right.
But guess what? Don't baby me. Don't pet me.
All right.
Do like
system.
All right.
If you don't pet them and give them a nipple, a bald nipple, then they feel like they're not being ministered to. But once the church grow up, grow up into the full stature of Christ, then we'll be able to help others forget about their past. And then we'll reach unto the things that are before. Now let me tell you something about reaching. God will tell you, I got a blessing for you at the door. Yes, he'll tell you that. He done me like that. But he don't tell me the trials and tribulations I've got to face on my way to the door. But guess what? Don't be like the disciples on the boat. When Jesus told them, let's go over to the other side. And soon as the storm came, they got afraid.
Yes.
I do believe if I'd have been on that boat,
come on now,
and he'd have said, let's go over. Let's go over.
Come on, come on.
Let's go over.
Yes.
I don't care what kind of storm came.
Oh, God.
I don't care how the wind blew.
Yes.
If he said we're going over, there's no way you're going to go under. When he said you're going over, come on and shout glory here. Paul said, I'm reaching unto the things that are before me. Stop crying about folks kicking you. Only way folks can kick you, they got to be behind you. And some of y'all been kicked to a better job. Some of you been kicked to a promotion. Some of you been kicked to a higher level of God. So stop crying about that and just look at what's before you. Because you always have some stuff behind you trying to hold you back. See, I told the devil the other day, you know, we like, oh, get behind me, Satan. I told him, no, they get behind me and don't be pushing me. Because he can get behind you, he'll start pushing. But how many of you know when you keep your eyes on what's before, I see something. And you see, let me tell you something, spiritual things are seen better from the heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see. Once you get your heart right, get it out of the past, you can see the goodness and the glory of God. Then Paul says, sometime because my generational curses, it gets hard. And that's why you gotta press.
Yes, sir.
Some of us got to pray more than others have to pray. Some of us have to fast more than others have to fast. Some of us have to go to church more than others have to go to church. Because I don't think I can make it without the assembly of the saints. So every time I go, I see something or hear something that make me feel like I can make it too. Paul said, I press, and that reminds me of the woman that really understood the privileges of pressing. She heard about Jesus was in town. She said, I done tried everything else. Is there anybody here you know, not you, but you know somebody done tried everything and look like life's still not working? You've tried this, you tried that, you tried them, you tried him.
Come on now, don't work.
You done tried so many him till you're a hemaholic. And it's still not working. This woman had tried everything, Bishop. But finally she realized it wasn't working. And she heard that Jesus. She heard that Jesus was passing by. Now, the Levitical law said, in your condition, don't you touch no man. But when you want it bad enough, you will go against tradition. That's why I thank God for Bishop. That's why I thank God for Bishop introducing us to gospel rap. That's why I thank God for Bishop. Let me deviate slightly. The other day I was watching an interview between Bishop T.D. Jakes and Steve Harvey. And it was so interesting, and I was convicted. Talking about pressing. We have been so stuck and buried in tradition. To folks that really need Jesus, it's not against Jesus. They are against folks that say they are Jesus folk. See, a Christian
ain't nothing but a beggar.
My God, that's right.
And another Christian ain't nothing but a beggar.
That's right. That's right.
It's two beggars telling each other where they found bread. Steve Harvey looked at Bishop Jakes and said, there are people like me, and I know what you say. I know what you say, and I stand to be challenged. He said, I know I cuss.
Yes.
He said, I know my lifestyle is filled with my game of telling lies.
Yes.
He said, but nobody understands the God in me.
All right.
I want to come to church, but they got too much God.
All right.
I want to tell the folks in the world they don't understand God. So where do I go? And I sit there and I say, God, that's an indictment to us. Because guess what? When you first came, you were tore up from the floor. And some of us still got struggles. But by the grace of God. And he said, I want to be able to go to church not to be made feel comfortable. He said, but I want to be embraced for who I am. And then the scripture jumped in my spirit. I thank God for the Bible. Said, behold, all souls.
Yes.
Well, sis, you ain't going to shout nowhere. I might as well make you good and mad. When the Bible said all souls, he was talking about the homosexual soul. When it said all souls, he was talking about the lesbian soul. When he was talking about all souls, he was talking about the lying soul. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and just step in this deep water. You see, one thing I've learned about God is the fact that the folks you maximize, he minimizes. The folks you maximize, he minimized. Now you want to put all the sissies out.
Oh, yes.
You want to put all the bulldaggers out.
Oh, my God.
But the Bible tells me that a liar
ain't
going to tarry
in
his sight. We don't think nothing about telling a lie.
All right.
Honey child, no man better not put his hand on me. This woman began to press her way. She pressed beyond these men and said, if I can just touch. Some of us, all we need is a touch. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you may be going through. All you need is a touch. I don't know if you understand the power of a touch. Sometimes all you need somebody to do is just touch you in the right place. And I'm not talking about so much a physical touch. But if you can get somebody to touch you where you are needed, touch you where you are going through, it'll make you feel like somebody really cares. You ought to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, when you see me crying, how you going to respond to me? Tell them, neighbor, I need you. Neighbor, pray for me. I got some things going on. And God will he'll help you if you will help me. Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Everybody sing. Everybody sing. I press. I got a little exercise I want you to do. I want you to push against somebody and let them push back. That's the way you got to press into your blessing. A whole lot of time you pressing and somebody pressing back. But you got to press. I'll go through you to get what I need from God. I'll go around you to get what I need from God. Say yes. Raise your hand and say glory. I'm going to forget about it. Before 2012 come in, there are some folk you need to go find. Text them. Call them. Email them. Skype them. And tell them, I'm sorry. Forgive me. So we can forget this and go on. I'm not going into 2012. I told my wife, God bless the bishop. She was not able to be here. They're making preparations for our service. But I said to her, I said, the thing we went through in 2011, we ain't going through in 2012. We getting too old for them little childish games. See, if you ain't saved enough, you ought to be old enough. Come on now. Man, at a certain age, y'all be old enough to go home. Come out, the Lord did it, huh? Father Time did it. But why are you standing?
Lord,
Bishop, if I have credence, why are you standing?
Lord,
God has a blessing for you just because you came here tonight. Is going down in the memoirs of heaven that on December the 31st, 2011, you was at Life Changers Church. And God got a blessing just for you coming.
Thank you, Lord God.
Are you ready to forget? Don't take that same malice into 2012. So they hurt you. So he left you with 12 children. Forget it and do the best you can and go on. I preached a message a few Sundays ago. It's time to move on. That's a different in going on and moving on. The children of Israel, they went on out of Egypt. But the prodigal son, he moved. Because when he left everything in the strange land.
All right.
And when you really learn how to forget, I said to one of the dear people at our church, they've been hurt, they've been scarred. I said, the best revenge is success.
Say that.
You thought it was all over. But here I am still here.
And better.
You need to look at somebody and say, guess what? I'm better because of you. What you meant for evil, God turned it around for good. That's why I'm gonna stay on the Lord's side. Oh. If it's convenient for you, lay your hands on your neighbor. Lay your hands on him. Lay your hands on him.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I want to pray.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Bishop. Thank you, Life Changers. Thank you, Visitors and Friends. Above all, thank you, Holy Ghost, for this opportunity. Everyone that participated tonight, it took you to make this night what it is. And God is in debt to you. He's going to do what you're speaking into the life of your sister. He's going to do what you're speaking in the life of your brother. Tonight, you can become a prophet. You can prophesy. To your neighbor.
Thank you, Lord God.
Good things. Father God, in the name of Jesus. If there's a sin in the building, say, I will not go into 2012 without having a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord God.
Don't just let this be once a year.
Thank you, Lord God.
It can be a forever fellowship.
Thank you, Lord God.
You and the Lord can be on first name basis. And if you're here tonight, will you be bold enough to walk forward and say, I need him. I've tried a lot of things. And let me tell you something, contrary to popular teaching, you can't live this by yourself. You got to allow him to get in you and live it through you. None of us can do it by ourselves. But thank God for the indwelling of his spirit. His indwelling presence.
Yes, Lord.
That causes us to say yes to him and no to the enemy. If you're here tonight, if you're not bold enough to come forth, you bow your head where you are. If you know your relationship with the Lord, if you died tonight, if you met your fixed purpose tonight, where would you spend eternity? Would you hear the words, depart from me?
I want you to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy.
Yes, Lord.
It's already prepared. I don't know about you, but I want to enter into the joy. Oh, this jubilation down here is good, but that joy up there,
yes, God,
supersedes any human comprehension. Father, in the name of Jesus, have mercy on us.
Have mercy, Lord.
We repent of every sin.
Yes, Lord.
We repent of the weight,
yes,
and the sin that so easily beset us.
Yes, God.
Now we're laying aside every weight.
Yes, God.
For this is the time for us to pick up the slack and hew to the line and go forward. Touch my sister. Touch my brother. I speak blessings into their life. I speak prosperity into their life. I speak love into their life. I speak favor on their life. In the name of Jesus, I will never be the same after this night tonight. I have been motivated to forget. When I think about how good you've been to me, and how good you are right now, I'm not going to let no inner feeling interfere with my glory. Thank you for it. Bless my sister. Touch my brother. Heal and deliver. Set free right now. Break the bonds of the enemy. Loose them and let them go. I pull them into glory. I pull them out of this path. In the name of Jesus. Come on and give God your best hand praise as you agree with that prayer.
Did not our hearts burn?